at 12:58 in the afternoon on Wednesday, the 26th, Nancy Styler called and said, "We're leaving with the last load. Nancy, we haven't seen Nancy," meaning Nancy Pfister. She's just gone, and she's left Gabe up here for 2 days, and I left the windows open and filled his water bowls, but could you come up and get Gabe? And so Kathy...
And it still smells bad?
Mm-hmm. And it still smells bad. There's this awful smell. I don't know what it is. There's an awful smell. And so Kathy finishes her work. So that was almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon. She works a full day at Alpine Bank. She drives up there. She, Kathy walks in. There's Gabe. And she starts looking around. And, oh, here's another thing that Nancy Styler said to Kathy Carpenter. Both Tuesday and Wednesday, Nancy Styler says, "I went into Nancy Pfister's bedroom, and there were no sheets on the bed." There were no sheets on the bed. And Kathy is also thinking, that's weird. And so she goes up there on the 26th, right after work. She gets to the house. Gabe's happy to see her. And there is a bad smell. And she's looking around, and she goes to check the sheets on the bed. And the bed's neatly made. And Kathy said, "That's weird. I don't think Nancy Pfister ever made a bed in a day in her life." I mean,
no,
it's
blood.
Just who she was.
No blood on the mattress.
This is the bed.
So you said there's no sheets on it, but then you also said the bed was made?
Mm-hmm. This is the, yeah.
Okay.
So at one point there were no sheets on it, and later the bed was made.
But not the sheets.
Oh.
Hold on, Greg, let me know.
Oh, I see.
Bear with me just a second.
Yeah, you guys just let me know when you're finished.
That's a crime scene picture?
Yes, it is.
I'm all good.
That's crazy.
Oh,
no,
sorry, Chad.
Thank you.
You got it?
Yep.
This, when she lifted up the sheets, is what you see on the headboard. And this is important.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You guys mind if I go ahead?
I'm just going to try to hold still.
So I don't mean to belabor the point, but just to make sure I understand, was the nature of the bed different from one of the calls to when Kathy saw it herself, or the description without sheets? It was the same.
It was. There were no sheets on the bed. It was made like that.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
He's just trying to help.
Good job holding it still.
Not everybody can do that.
Why is that important?
Why is this important? The next thing... Okay, so Kathy looks, pulls back the duvet, and says, "That's weird, there's no sheets." And when she does, she sees this, and actually goes, is that blood? And then she turns, and the closet that we're all talking about is across from the foot of this bed. Probably about, I'd say... 10 feet or so. The closet has a locking door with a key lock. And when Nancy came home, Kathy has two copies of the key. When John Beatty said, "Rekey the closet," he called Basalt Lock and Key, had them make two keys, told them to give them to Kathy. So she has one with a little paper tag that says, "Owner's Closet." And she gave that, she brought it home for Nancy and left it in the closet door. And was helping her unpack and put stuff in the closet, and the Stylers had been staying up there, and she was helping arrange things. And she went to go look in the closet, and the key was gone. There's no key, and the closet's locked. And so she called two people, her mother and another woman, saying, "It's weird up here. I'm going to get my other key." So she drives back down West Buttermilk Road, goes over to her employee housing where she used to live, and gets the other key. It's on a lanyard. Gabe's in the car with her. She drives back up there, leaves Gabe in the car, goes back in, takes her key, opens the closet door, and opens it, and sees something. What she sees, I have another picture of, but I can't, I don't want you to take pictures of that, because I, again, the same reason I don't want to turn over recordings of the 911 call.
Don't show us that, because I got to keep going with the
interview. Okay.
And I can show
either
up
you, over to you. That'd be great.
Okay.
So, what she does, I guess I'm out of frame.
Yeah.
So,
if you don't mind staying where you are.
Do you have it there, Greg? I think you have it there.
Yeah, I do have it here.
Okay.
Kathy Carpenter opened the door with her spare key and saw what was Nancy Pfister on the floor. Okay. It was Nancy Pfister was covered by blankets and sheets, and her head was... Can you bring me my bag from over there?
I think this is mine.
I see it. I see it.
You can't take pictures.
She stood and looked and realized what she had looked at very quickly. And that has to be understood in the context of Nancy Stylar calling her for 2 days, saying there's no sign of Nancy. She's disappeared. Do you think she's done herself in? There's something weird. There's a bad smell. And she knows there's conflict between the two of them. She goes in and... the head, Nancy Pfister's head, was in a white bag. And it's much like this one. And you can see my hand through there. And the picture I've shown you shows that you can see dark spots and...
You can see what, I'm sorry?
Dark areas there and what looks like hair. She stood and looked at something like that picture, although before that picture was taken, three different people pulled back those covers and put them back. The coroner, a paramedic, and one of the deputies at three different times before that picture was taken. So that picture is similar to what Kathy Carpenter saw, probably not exactly, because it's hard for three different people to go in and pull those covers and pull them back.
I just wanted to clarify something. You said her head was in a sack.
Her body.
But her head was still attached to the body, right?
Yes. Yeah. She...
Okay. But the whole body was also wrapped in trash bags. But her head was separately wrapped in the trash bag? No.
The white trash bags were on her head. Underneath all those covers, there were black trash bags wrapping her up, and she had been tied up with an electrical cord.
Her hands?
Her legs tied up to, I think, make her fit in a black trash bag. The cord, I don't think, had nothing to do with cause of death.
Okay.
Could that have been used to help move her?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You think William Stylar could have moved her by himself?
Yes. William Styler was seen at the Woody Creek post office moving boxes to his car, standing up, not using a wheelchair. That was all new.
So, sorry to bring you back. Does Kathy immediately run out and call 911?
Kathy immediately runs out, calls 911 as she's driving down West Buttermilk Road. I'm not going to play it because you're going to keep running.
Well, if you're going to just play it, I can kill it for a second.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, I don't know if you want to hear 7.5 minutes, so and we don't have to listen.
I have a question. Why did she leave? Before I turn off. Why did she leave and not just call 911?
Because she was scared. She didn't know where they were. She knew whoever did this, she didn't know if they were still up there or what was happening. And she said that repeatedly. I got out of there because I didn't know where they were.
Okay.
So that's...
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Now don't be talking...